Good morning, everyone. Man, y'all sound awake this morning. That's a blessing. Let's open up to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to take advantage of that and we'll just get right into it. Come on in, Mr. Christopher. Good to see you. All right. Let's we're going to open up with a little bit of review and then we're going to jump right into it. By the way, up here at the front, I have the couple of scripture memory book examples here, and I've got a sign-up list. If you want one of these to help you with your scripture memory, then there's a list here. Sign up for them, and I'll get you ordered, and you can just drop the money in the offering. I think this one's $15. This one has like 90, almost 90 verses in it. It's basically 1 to 3 per week, depending on your whatever trek you're on, how fast you're going, 1 to 3 verses a week. It's theme related. This one, you can look at them. This has the 100, they say 100 Bible verses everyone should know. And there's some really good verses in here. And again, there's 100 in this one, okay? And this one goes a little faster. It's 4 to 5 verses per week if you're on track. But you can obviously go at your own pace. It's not a race. If it is, it's a marathon. So just get a good pace and continue on, amen, till Jesus comes back. That's the main thing, all right? So let's get going here. Let's just review a little bit about this book that we've started out on. I think Peter is giving us instructions on how to finish our race well. And I think that because he said in chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And then he says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." So he knows his time is short on the earth, and he wants them to know some things, and he wants to put them into remembrance. Remembrance is mentioned 4 times in this book, 3 times in the verses we're going to get to, Lord willing, today here in chapter 1, and again in chapter 3. But the most important word, remember, is knowledge. And knowledge referring directly 7 times in this book to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if knowledge is the key, then certainly remembrance is important. And so Peter, knowing that he's going to be leaving here, he's leaving them the things that he thinks will allow them to increase in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And look at verse 5. This is what we started with last week. And it says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." So we've talked about diligence 3 times mentioned in this book, twice here in chapter 1. Diligence, we're supposed to add to our faith, that being what he said in verse 1, that like precious faith that was obtained through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. As Brother Roger said, if you're in the family of God, you got into the family of God because you got born again into the family of God. Because we were born into Adam's family. Amen? You understand that, right? And you'll see that over in Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, where it says that Adam begat sons, and he begat particularly Seth, and it says, in his own likeness. See, Adam was the son of God, and he sinned and became separated from his father and had to be reinstated, as the rest of us do, by putting his faith and trust in God's promised seed that he would send of the seed of woman. He mentioned in Genesis 3:15. And so, if a man is born in Adam's family, he's got to get born into a new family, the family of Christ. And that is by what Brother Roger said. It said in those verses that as many as receive him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God, even those that believe upon his name. You have to believe. That's how you get born again and receive Jesus Christ. And so we know that now if we have that faith, we have that precious faith, we're supposed to add to it. And we're supposed to add to it diligently. That diligently means consistently, steady, putting forth effort to accomplish that goal of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is the reason that we were created. That's the reason God saved us, was to please Him. And it would please Him if we would be conformed to the image of His dear and precious Son. And then we went through those virtues last week. And I just want to pick up in verse 8 and said that if we were to add to our faith those virtues, it says in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it tells me, first of all, if I do this, I will be fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I won't have those consequences of being barren. And then in verse 9, it says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from our sins," from his old sins. This is a problem. So if we're not adding to our faith, what happens is we lose vision, so we don't know where we're going, and we forget our past, that we've been saved and we've been born into the family of God. That's a terrible situation. You can't see what's ahead of you, and you can't remember what's behind you. That's a terrible situation, but that's what happens if we're not moving forward in this development, giving all diligence, adding to our faith. So don't want to be blind, don't want to be forgetful, and I don't especially want to forget my identity. Amen? That's the worst thing. Wouldn't it be terrible? I don't know if you've ever known somebody, it's ever happened to you personally, to have amnesia. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing? You can't remember people around you. You know, they know you, and they're you can't remember who they are. Wow, that's terrible. That's what happens. You forget you're in Christ. You forget your identity's in Him. Amen? You get an amnesia. So, with that in mind, it says here again in verse 10, it talks to us again about diligence. Look what it says. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." And remember, Brother Roger brought this out in chapter 3. He says that don't fall from your steadfastness, from your diligence, from your continuing on, your constant, steady effort. Don't fall away from God. Look at verse 11. "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." There's a reward for this guy's coming. And what an entrance, an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. So here, so now we see what we just talked about, verse 12. "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that you shall know them and be established in the present truth." So let me ask you something. Now, if you, and by the way, if you don't know this, let me just clue you in. You're dying, okay? You're going to die, okay? Now, unless the Lord Jesus comes and just raptures us out of here, and He might today, Brother Terry, wouldn't that be a blessing? But if not, then we're going to go the way of all men. Isn't that right, Brother John? We came out of the dirt, we're going back to the dirt. Now, let me ask you something. If that's the case, what are you doing and what am I doing right now to put those we love and care about in remembrance of these things? Peter talked about that, and I was thinking about that. And, you know, what's the difference between an inheritance and legacy? Inheritance is something you give to someone. A legacy is something you leave in someone. And there's a difference. Inheritance can be spent up pretty easily. But a legacy, something you leave in someone. What are we doing right now, knowing that our demise is coming, our decease? He says he knows that his decease is coming. And he says, after my decease, in verse 15, he says, I want you to have these things always in remembrance. So how do we pass these things on to the next generation? Well, what about telling our family? I hope we've talked to our family about the Lord. I hope, you know, we all want our kids to be saved and the next generation, our grandkids. And But how much time do we spend talking to them about who we are as Clarks, Christians, Bible believers? How much time do we spend talking about that? Do we set aside specific time for family meetings, family retreats? That'd be a good excuse to take a vacation and just relax and enjoy and then talk about, you know, how's a good way to talk about these things? Tell stories. Who doesn't love a good story, right? Samuel was asking me some things, and we were talking, I think it was yesterday, and it's good to just talk about the history and then give the lesson for why. What I learned from it, if it wasn't what I wanted, and what the benefit was if it's more of what we want to repeat, right? But we need to share these things. So I had this thought in mind this a few days ago, and so I heard this guy talk about this these cards called Tales, T-A-L-E-S, Tales. So I ordered some of these, and there's a number of different types, okay? So they have one for family, and so I got one of those, and they have one for couples, and I got one of those too. And basically it's 150 questions in each box that they're to start conversations around things that matter. You know, and so they're all different kinds, but I thought, man, be a good idea if we just put our phones down, locked them up in a drawer somewhere, took out a card and started a few conversations. Amen. Wouldn't that be something? I told my kids one day, I said, hey, we're gonna have some new entertainment tonight. It's called Conversation. Y'all don't know anything about that, but let me just introduce you to it, okay? It's what we used to do in the olden days before we had cell phones. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all don't even remember that. Oh, man, we used to talk. I wonder sometimes, what did we do? But anyway, that's just an idea. But what about telling them, talking, having conversations, telling stories? Videos today are great. You can actually video things, and you can record them that way and pass them on. You know, they're out there in the cloud, and I guess that's out there forever. I don't know. But and then, of course, the way our Father chose to communicate to us was in writing. He wrote it down, Brother Kyle. And he said, you know, there's something about the written word. You know, when it's down there. Ain't that right, Brother Roger? If you write something, it's hard to take it back, isn't it? And you know what? And it's harder to misunderstand. Now, you can't read tone and inflection and everything into words, but you sure enough can't change the words, right? And you can't go back and say, oh, it's not what I said. It's what you wrote. It's in writing. It's in black and white, you know? And what about for our families? You ever thought about having a family constitution? What would your family constitution be like? What would it be like? Constitution is the rules and laws and of how we operate in our country, right? What if there are rules and laws and purposes and whys of how we operate as a family? Wouldn't that be a blessing? You know what I'm saying? So the next generation would be able to take it out and say, oh, this is what it means to be a Clark. You know what I'm saying? And you can take, you know, we talked about an acronym with your last name or whatever. Depends on how long your last name is, I guess. But Zabrowski, I'm pretty sure it won't work, okay? I'm not sure, okay? I'm not sure where we get that, where you got that Z. It's a zoo. It's like we're a zoo of human beings. Sorry, sister, I'm just joking with you, you know. I get Brad later because, you know, he got born into that name. You've chose it. I don't know what to say about you. But anyway, be good if our family knew what we stand for. Be good if some things were written down. At the very least, you know, you should at least have a will, right? So your family knows what your intentions are. How many times have you seen good families have breakups and relationships hurt because someone passes on and there's no clear instructions about what's going to happen? And you think everybody's close, it's going to work out? Generally, no. It needs to be well stated and understood. All those documents need to be in place. What we're talking about here is putting our family in remembrance. As Peter said, he wanted to put the family of God into remembrance about these things so that when he was gone, they would remember this. And so if our Father chose the written word. That's what he chose to use. Look at how he esteems and exalts the word of God here. Look at verse 16. Peter writing here. It says, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, he's not talking about his second coming there. He's talking about when they were on the mount here, and he's going to say that in just a minute. Look at verse 17. "For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Now, look at that testimony, guys, right there. Would y'all say that an eyewitness is a strong testimony? Y'all agree? What if there was more than one? Because he said, "We." There were three of them up there that day, you remember? And they said, "We saw it." But that ain't all they said. What else? They said, "We heard it." So that's a strong testimony to the excellency and the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ and what they saw and what they heard. But look down what he says in verse 19. He says, "We have also..." Now, that was an amazing experience and never to be repeated, but he said, "We got something else." He said, "A more sure word of prophecy." Y'all understand what you're holding in your hand right there and what you're reading is a more sure word than what your eyes tell you, what your ears tell you, what your mind thinks. You know, all of that has to come into alignment with the Word of God. It's more sure than any of our experiences. You know, people have some weird experiences. If you don't believe so, you need to talk to more people. Okay? You go where I go, there's a lot of weird stuff that happened then, Brother Kyle, Brother Oakley. They got some weird experiences in prison and other places too, by the way. But, you know, I had, there was a while back, and there was a prisoner. He was giving him, this guy, he wasn't saved. He told me he wasn't saved. But he had this experience, this vision that he had in a near-death situation. And he asked me about it. And I said, "Well," and I took him right to this passage. And I said, "I can't speak to that, but I can speak to this." And I said, "You told me from your own mouth that you're not saved. You're not a believer." I said, "Then I cannot... God may be drawing you to himself through that," but he was like, he thought he was dying, it was all peaceful and everything was beautiful and green, and there was this vision of a man in a white robe and all this stuff. I said, I'm not doubting you had the vision, I'm just doubting it was from God. Right. Y'all know there's other visions come from other places, right? Sometimes you just had bad food, right? And other times you got a bad spirit. You understand? And so, you can't go on your emotions. It's not, Peter said it was even more sure than the eyewitness testimony of what we heard and what we saw on the mount, me and my brethren. But he said, "We got a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." Well, if it's that sure, we sure enough ought to obey it. Don't y'all agree? It says, "As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation." So now I see not only do we not trust our vision above the Word of God, but number two, we don't get to make the Word of God fit our vision. We don't get to make the Word of God fit our philosophy or our liking, or anything else. No person has a right to interpret the Scriptures according to their own will. It's only by the will of God. Y'all know that every Scripture has a one interpretation. Now, you understand, applications may be many. And we may differ about our interpretation, but one of us is right. Okay? I don't know who it is, and it doesn't always matter, because sometimes it's not clear. You understand? But some things do matter. Y'all know that. And if it's regarding the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is, how we get born again, it certainly is of critical that we get the right interpretation. And then we're able to apply it. But it says in verse 20 that no private interpretation, and let me say this too, look at verse 21 and we'll summarize this, but it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, okay, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So how did we get this Bible? Well, God took men that were willing to put their will aside and listen to Him so that He could speak through them exactly what He wanted us to have. That's how it worked. And now, here's the problem. I've noticed this. People have a hard time just staying to one book. We did a study on the Holy Spirit in the prison a while back, and I told them at the beginning, I said, we can have a lot of good discussion here. I said, if we will agree at the beginning that the Word of God has final say. And so then we ain't been 30 minutes into the class, and some guy in the back starts telling me about how people can't interpret the book of Hebrews correctly because it wasn't written to Hebrew believers and whatever else. And I said, that's interesting. I didn't know that either. I said, where'd you read that at? Oh, I heard it on the podcast. This woman was preaching on there. I said, wait a minute, bro. Rewind. Didn't I just say don't bring up anything that ain't in the book? We can discuss the book, but we ain't discussing podcasts and anything else. That's crazy. People, they believe it. People hear it and they just believe it. I mean, I'm not against podcasts, but I'm going to tell you what. You know what you ought to do? You ought to just start with the KJV Bible Preaching Podcast and just stay with that one. Amen? Because you're going to exhaust yourself there and not run out of resources. Amen? I mean, there's good Bible preaching on there. Y'all do understand Brother Brent. I mean, of course, we know Brother Roger's on there. Okay? This is actually going to be on there too. But those other men on there, some of those men I didn't know, but Brother Brent said, man, I listen to them before I take them on there. I vet them. I listen to their preaching. I see what they're about. And then we agree to take them on or not. You know, so you're going to get good, sound Bible preaching and teaching on that podcast. And listen to that if you need to. But be careful because, man, I'm going to tell you, look what's coming up here. Let's look down in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but. Y'all see that? So we just said that God used holy men not by their will, but He spake to them by the Holy Ghost. But. That don't sound like a good place for a but. There's a contrast here. But it says there are false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Who, man, that's crazy to understand. There's false teachers in the church, really? Among us? Yeah, and will be among us? Yes, until the end of time, until Jesus separates them. And He'll get it right when He does. But in the meantime, you're going to have to deal with this. So you're going to have to believe, first of all, the Bible is a more sure word of prophecy. I'm going to have to commit myself to that, to learn it and know it, so that then when I hear something, I can say, is that right or is that not? Understand? Look what it says. It says, but there are false prophets among you, also among the people, even there shall be false prophets among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Oh, that's a problem right there. Now look at this right here. Look at what it says. It says, some of these YouTube preachers that you listen to here that you don't really know anything about, you just like something in particular that they talk about, okay, it could be that they're heretical. You know what a heresy is, right? Heresy is a truth out of focus and out of balance. It's got enough truth in it, Brother Justin, to sound pretty good. And if it fits with the way we think and the way, you know, we kind of feel, especially independent Baptists like that, this macho man, if it's strong, they use a lot of passion when they preach, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard. It's like, yeah. But a heretic also divides. Let me tell you, he gives a whole chapter. There's only three chapters in this book. He takes one whole chapter, Brother David, to warn us about false teachers. A third of the book. And he's trying to tell us how to finish well. It sounds like this is going to be if we're not careful, this can stop us from finishing well. That we can be knocked off track by these false preachers. And today, how much more so? Because there's so much exposure. Man, I can go out there right now in my vehicle, pick up my phone. I can have every kind of preacher you ever imagined in my ear in about 5 seconds. YouTube, podcast, I mean, internet, just anywhere you want to go. It's all out there. So what are you going to do? Well, let me ask you something here. First of all, maybe you need to start with what we talked about, okay, and go to something you know. Number two, look at what it says about these are damnable heresies. These are things that are worthy of eternal punishment because they deny the Lord. They take the focus off the Lord, okay, and they put the focus on their doctrine. Y'all get what I'm saying? It's like everything else comes second to that. That's what a heretic does. And it says that their destruction is going to come swiftly. Okay? But I want to pick up another word in there. It says they come privily. There's a time for privacy. Do y'all agree? It's not around Bible doctrine. Why do you have to be private about Bible doctrine? Aren't we Bible believers? If somebody wants to come and talk to you, I need to talk to you, you know, and they want to talk to you about a Bible doctrine, why do we need to just put it out there, man? We got the Bible, let's compare it. So don't be careful about people that come around and they want to promote their Bible doctrine to you privately. Let's say, no, let's get it out in the open here, okay? And let's see what the Word of God really says about this, because heresy, what it does is it divides and it destroys, okay? Now check this out. It does not provide strength. Look down in verse 2. It says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. I wish it wouldn't have said many. That's troubling. It didn't say a few. It said many will follow their pernicious ways. And when I first looked at that word pernicious, I thought, that's weak, because there's such thing as pernicious anemia. Y'all familiar with that? It's the first thing I think about, right? Okay. So when you think of any kind of anemia, you think that's a weakness, right? But what this really means is destruction. So that pernicious anemia is a destruction of some cells inside your stomach that affect the production of B vitamins, and that's why you end up with the anemia. So that's where it got its name, okay? But the word means destruction or kill. So these heresies and these heretics, they cause destruction, they kill them. Boy, I tell you what, they've killed a lot of churches. You understand that, right? A lot of churches have been split because somebody comes into the church with a heresy and promotes it and allows it to grow until many are defiled. So my question is, what do you want your pastor and elders to do about this in the church? I mean, you get a sign out there, Brother Roger, so we can be like the other churches. It says, everyone's welcome. Come as you are. Come as you think. Just bring... You know what? I'm okay with that. Just don't promote what you think if it doesn't line up with that book. Amen. That's the thing. Everybody comes in here from different places. Some of you got church background, some of you don't. Some of you got other types of church background you got to overcome. Okay? You ought to be able to come in a place where you can hear the Bible preach and listen and learn, but what you don't have the right to do is come here with the intent to spread your doctrine in this body. Amen. I mean, it's like Brother Roger said before, you're joining us, we're not joining you. We're not looking for direction here so you can come in here and give us some. No, honestly, you got to be careful, because people do come into churches with that intent. We've seen it happen here. And you know, what's the elder supposed to do? Well, he's supposed to protect the flock, right? And people like to say doctrine divides. Nope. False doctrine divides, but truth unifies and strengthens. Truth makes you stronger. Truth sets you free from some of these false ideas. Truth is what we need. True doctrine. Amen. Now let's go to Titus chapter 3. How do you handle this situation? Look at Titus chapter 3. Y'all still with me? All right. Good. We got Justin. Brother Justin's with us. That's good. We'll go along, brother. We'll be all right. Amen. We got the Bible. Thank God. Here we go. Let's look at verse 9. Let's start at verse 9. It's amazing how the Word of God has instruction for us on how to handle these situations, right? It says in verse 9, this is Titus chapter 3, it says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." And they wear you out too. I mean, that should just wears a man out. Just want to answer all these dumb questions. Avoid them. It says there's no profit in that. But look at verse 10. "A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition," what are you supposed to do? Reject. There's a reject. You can't accept that. So I warned you, brother, keep your mouth shut. Nope, that's not what the Bible teaches. No, second warning, after that, you're a non-learner. You can't work with people that don't learn. See, they got their mind made up. You can't teach anybody something like that's got their mind made up. So what do you got to do? You got to reject them. Knowing, verse 11, "knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." Man, that's a bad state. Wouldn't y'all agree? So how do you know if somebody's like that? Well, you know, there's a child story, you know, about a girl, I think, that left breadcrumbs, right? You know, and then followed the breadcrumbs. Y'all remember that story? Well, these people leave a blood trail. Hunters know about a blood trail, right, Brother Kenny? These guys leave a blood trail. You need to back it up a little bit and see where they come from. What kind of destruction and wake of disaster was left behind them, you see. And that they have a pattern. They come into churches and they cause damage, and if they don't get their way, then they move on to the next one to do the same thing. So that's why they must be rejected. That's why you gotta follow up people. Wasn't that long ago we had a situation like this where, there was a man that had a history. We knew about it, so we said, "No problem. As long as you keep these simple things, you're welcome to fellowship here with us. We'd like to help you." Okay? Sure enough, three simple things he can't keep. Okay? Like one of them was, how about you seek after God before you seek after a spouse? How about that? Is that fair enough? Is that unreasonable in any way? You can't keep that rule? Well, now you can't stay. Sure enough, he went somewhere else to cause more trouble. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere else. So you just have to realize that people come into church for different reasons. Some of them got their own motives, what they're looking for. But unfortunately, what we're used to today is this church idea is just about numbers. I come past a couple of churches on the way here, and I was thinking about this. And man, in most churches today, as long as you got a checkbook, okay, or at least a little bit of talent, you're welcome. Come on in. More the merrier. And we wonder why churches go like this, like roller coasters. You know what I mean? It's up and down and all around, okay? Boy, they got to ride in the wave before you know it. Then they're down and they got to sell the building or they're barely making it. It's because they're not focused on the main reason we exist, which is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't stand on Bible truth and doctrine. I know of a local church right here, right now, where I don't know what her title is, some type of praise leader, maybe, worship leader, I don't know. I don't know. I had a patient tell me this, Brother Roger. I thought this was really good. She asked me about our church. And she said, asked me if we had a choir. And I said, no, we don't have a choir all the time, but we have a choir. And we have a choir director, and we have a song leader, and we sing out of hymnals. And she told me something interesting from the Bible. She said, God never ordained a praise team, but he did ordain a choir. I said, well, that's pretty good. I think I'll stick with that, Brother Jason. I think that's a good plan. And so you got praise team today, but this worship leader, this female lady, divorced her husband, okay, without cause, but she's still, you know, she's got talent. So what does that matter, right? This is what you get into when you put the scriptures aside and then you start letting people have their own way. Look at Philippians. We're almost done. I know y'all are enjoying this. It's tremendous. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to press on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15 says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Anybody be mature in here? It said, be thus minded. And if anything, you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Just be willing to let God change your mind. It says, verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. What you already know, walk in it, and let us mind the same thing. It's important that we do that. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. It'd be a good idea if you identify those that are doing right as well. Have a good example. Then you have something to compare to when something doesn't look right. Amen? Paul said, mark me. He says, watch me and mark those others that are walking according to the way I walk. And he said, which is according to the Bible. And then, look at verse 18. For many, again, it says many. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. That's their own will. It says, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, one more passage here. And let's go over to Titus again. Just go to Titus chapter 1 here. Titus chapter 1. You know, there's roles here and there's people. You know, your pastor has the key role here, okay? But it says here in verse 11, it says, in verse 10, it says, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, specifically they of the circumcision, their mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. You'll see later in that chapter we're studying here in 2 Peter that's one of the things that identifies the false prophet is their motive, and it's always related to money. But then if we look down here also in, let's go over to chapter 3, let's look down to verse 15 and 16. It says, But unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work reprobate. So what is the... How do you prevent this? Well, look at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and we'll be done here. Look what it says. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. So let me say something. Aged men, I don't know how you classify that. I might be in that group, maybe. What's your role here? Stability. You're supposed to be sober, serious about things that matter, okay? You're supposed to be temperate. You're not supposed to be tossed all around. You're not supposed to be hot-headed and like the younger man might be. The aged men are supposed to be stable, provide a firm foundation for the church so that they don't get to rocking with the false doctrine or somebody else comes in, has influence to it. If we do our job, we quench it, end it before it ever gets started. If we do our job, aged men, mature men, you'll hear things way before the pastor will. Okay? Just end it right there. That's what our role is. So Peter spends a third of his book here to warn us about these things. And because why? Because Peter's now, you know, he's older. He's become wise. Peter was that guy that was passionate. He did have foot and mouth disease. Y'all remember that? He would say a lot of things before he thought about it, right? But now I think Peter understands the nature of the battle. Remember Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. I'll just quote this for you, paraphrase it. But you know, Jesus said that to Peter, the devil hath desired to have you. He said he wants to sift you. You know what that means? He wants to separate and he wants to scrutinize, okay? The devil wanted that, but he said, I've prayed for you. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Well, I think Peter's now been converted. I think he's now got the, he's got it. He said, yeah, this is the way the devil works, see? He wants to separate, and he wants to scrutinize, and he wants to destroy. Jesus said, I came that you may have life, and life more abundantly. He says, but the thief, he cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil came for. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, no, I came that you might have life, and life more abundantly. So Peter's, through his trials, through his mistakes, and through the Lord growing him, he is now able to tell them, hey, remember these things and watch out for these false teachers. Now, next week, Lord willing, we'll get into how to identify these false teachers, okay? Because they got marks, and he takes a whole chapter to explain them to us. So we'll go through that, Lord willing, next week. Be reading chapter 2 in 2 Peter. See what y'all come up with. Y'all probably find some I don't. You can enlighten us next week. Thank y'all for your attention. The scripture memory books are up here. Sign up. I'll give us a week or two and then we'll get those things ordered, okay? I'm excited about learning scriptures together more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to be here and hear the truth, have the Bible, have a good pastor and a good church, Lord, to help us grow in our faith. Lord, help us to add to our faith and diligently. I pray this year, Lord, we would be consistent and steady in our effort to know you, Lord, and have knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn of him, Lord. We pray, God, you'd bless our efforts and work in our lives today. Even use this time here in the preaching hour to speak to us. For Jesus' sake, in his name we pray. Amen.